In this week's episode, Kate Perry is joined by Ashley Smokler from the RBP Tax Department. They discuss the autumn budget and how it might impact our clients.
Accountancy on Prescription by RBP, one of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Accountancy on Prescription. Today, I'm joined again by Ashley Smokler, one of our tax managers. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, Kate. Hi.
So today we're going to be talking about what happened yesterday in yesterday's budget. So what were your initial thoughts, Ashley?
The initial thing that I thought was that she can talk for England, that lady. And it took her about half an hour to actually get down to tell us anything because she was more interested in ripping the opposition to shreds. But once she got going, I didn't think there was a massive amount to worry about too much, but we'll discuss what small things there were coming up.
Well, I think there was one significant change, but I think really there wasn't anything that people didn't know about. And I think the speaker at the start certainly had something to say about that. But there wasn't anything that came up that was new that nobody had known before the budget even started. So in some senses, it was slightly boring from a tax point of view because she picked on a couple of really specific things that have a significant impact. And then a lot of things just stayed the same. But anyway, we'll talk through what the changes were and the impact on our clients as far as we can calculate. So I think the biggest thing, I think you would probably agree, Ashley, was this change in employers' national insurance.
Yeah, national insurance has come in for a number of changes recently, but most of them have been employee versions. This time round, she has attacked the employer, first of all, by increasing the rate by 1.2% up to 15%. But she's also reduced the secondary threshold, which is the point at which employers start to pay national insurance on employee salaries. That's gone down from £9,100 to £5,000, which is a huge reduction. And basically, it's going to mean that somebody on, let's say, a 35 grand salary, it's going to cost the employer an additional £925 per annum. And that's until she decides to put it up again in a future year. So it's quite a sizable chunk. And it will also, with the reduction of the threshold from 9,100 to 5,000, it can bring in a number of people that are part-time or lower earners who previously the employer was not attracting national insurance on that salary. Now they will be. And at 15%, it adds quite a chunk to the employer's outgoings.
Well, I think we can say that for somebody on the 9,100, the employer now will have to pay £615 on that salary, whereas before they wouldn't have paid anything at all.
Absolutely.
So I think you're right. And with our clients, certainly our GP clients who have part-time receptionists, there's going to be a lot more of their staff who fall into this category than there ever were before. So yes, that is going to be quite significant. And one thing to point out, I think, is of course, for most businesses, she did make another sort of change that she felt was going to mitigate against this a little bit, was the employment allowance.
The employment allowance itself has gone up by, well, it's doubled. Yeah. It's more than doubled. It's gone from 5,000 to 10,500. And previously, it was where your employer NI payments to the revenue in the previous year were less than 100,000. That 100,000 cap has also now been removed. What that doesn't help with a GP practice, for instance, is that they're not covered by the same rules. They won't be able to take advantage of that increase in the NI free section.
No, because effectively a GP practice is considered part of the NHS and therefore a government body and so doesn't get that advantage. So unfortunately, it does mean significant increases in that. And then for a sort of double whammy on top of that, what she also did was increase the national living wage.
She did. She did indeed. And again, all that's going to do is have more people earning more money, and therefore more people will be subject to employer national insurance.
Well, that's right, because going through accounts this year, in fact, clients were complaining about the increase because last year it went up by 9.8%. This year it's going to go up by 6.7%. In fact, what we ought to say is all these things kick in, not currently, but from April 2025. And of course, once you put your lower staff income up, you sort of feel to a certain extent obliged to at least step up a little bit, everybody else above them. So it does have a bit of a knock-on effect sort of all the way up the pay scale chain, really. So it is going to be quite difficult for our clients. And what some of our clients, in fact, have been talking about is with regard to the 6% increase that they're being asked to pay their staff already and whether there's any impact on that. But in fact, what we need to point out is that that 6% increase, of course, this is based on the DDRB review, is an increase for the current year, so the 24-25 year. And of course, all the increases we've been talking about are actually in respect of the 25-26 year. So unfortunately, you're still obliged to give that 6%. If you haven't already, and to be honest, I think most of our clients have, because actually the global sum has already been increased. I think all clients will now have received the back pay going back to April now, and therefore should have already put all their staff salaries up. But anyone that hasn't, I suppose they could be thinking about, well, in respect of the admin staff, you know, am I going to give them the full 6% or am I going to knock that down a bit in the knowledge that the lower paid staff are going to go up by 6%, 6.7% anyway to bring them onto the new living wage. So it has got some significant implications for our NHS GP practices. Of course, what we will be hoping is that the DDRB uplift next year will encompass this impact for our clients, and hopefully it will increase the overall increase in next year's income. So we'll have to sort of wait and see. Of course, one of the big things in the budget was the inclusion of more funding for the NHS. So there's a lot of funding. Some of our clients will be pleased to hear there's more funding for property. There's going to be more funding into the NHS to help clear the backlog. But I don't think they gave us any clear-cut idea as to exactly how the money was going to get distributed. And of course, a lot of the money they were talking about has effectively already been spent with all the pay reviews already. And the other thing that they didn't really disclose and that we're hoping for is the division of funding between secondary care and primary care. I think there was some indication that we were hoping there was going to be a higher percentage of the total budget going towards primary care and our GPs compared to that going to hospital services. So we'll have to wait and see exactly how that all pans out. But sadly, I think that was the biggest impact from the budget. But perhaps we'll go on and speak about the other changes, or should I say anticipated changes that didn't actually happen in the end.
Well, there were changes, although they were only percentage changes, which was affecting capital gains tax. There was talk of various routes that she could have taken in this respect, but she chose not to, which would certainly have pleased landlords who were thinking that gains on sale of residential properties were going to be increased, but they will be remaining at 24%. But certainly in a run-of-the-mill situation where you're maybe selling shares or whatever, capital gains is increasing. It's increasing from 10% to 18% if you're a basic rate taxpayer, and from 20% to 24%. Now, the chances are that I don't suspect many of our clients are actually going to be affected by the lower rate increase, but certainly the upper rate, the 20 to 24%, is going to affect anybody in a position where they have to pay capital gains tax. There's also the business asset disposal relief, which is basically a situation where you have your own limited company and you are liquidating that company. Business asset disposal relief, which was previously entrepreneurs relief. The applicable rate of CGT has traditionally been 10% for some years. That goes up to 14% with effect from the 6th of April 25, and then again goes up to 18% a year later. So that's going to affect clients that are trading effectively through a limited company.
And of course, where it also affects our GP partners in practice who own their property, if they are looking to retire and sell their share in the property, they will also get affected by this. So a lot of our clients were taking advantage of the 10%. And remember, you have to dispose of your property within 3 years of retiring. And you were able to take advantage of that 10% reduced amount. And of course, they will be impacted from April. So anyone in the process, current process of selling a share in their practice premises really needs to think about getting on and dealing with that. If it's already in the process of occurring, that they need to get that all done and dealt with before 5th of April, the end of the year, to ensure that they continue to get the 10%. If it tips into the next year, if they can't make agreement or the solicitors are dragging their feet, then they will end up paying an extra 4%. And then, as you say, the following year, it'll go up to 18%. So yes, that is another change. While we're talking about property, perhaps having just spoken about CGT, we should perhaps just mention the stamp duty changes in respect of the second property purchases. So I think this was something, can't remember, Ashley, can you remember when it was first brought in that they were charging different rates if you were purchasing a second property?
No, I honestly can't remember when it came in. I know it's been 3% for some time as the extra on top of the normal stamp duty rates. That's going up with effect from tomorrow, the 1st of November, from 3% to 5% extra. So it's going to be costing that much more when you buy property.
So that's going to affect any of our clients who have been buying the odd buy-to-let property, that might deter them a little bit. And of course, that's kicking in straight away from buying a buy-to-let property. And of course, there is a fear for the rental market that actually that's going to reduce landlords, those who work as landlords, buying up second properties. So we ought to cover some of the other taxes. So we've got corporation tax. So I think that was a surprise to a certain extent, because there was a lot of speculation about what might happen to corporation tax.
But very little did, as it turned out.
That's right. So I think any of our clients who've got their small limited companies, those rates are sticking around at 25%. I don't know whether she's extended that, or at least she's staying with the current limits.
It's 25% as a standard rate, but the small profit rate is still 19%. And she said that that will be for the remainder of this parliament. So however long that's going to take, who knows? Okay.
And of course, we do need to remember that if you are heavily involved in more than one company, these rates are distributed across the number of companies that you're directly involved with. So please keep that in mind. Then we've got inheritance tax. So I think there was a little bit of fear on that might change. And again, I think she's held that.
Yeah, very little has happened there. Almost nothing.
No, that's right. Well, the one thing that has changed for anyone out there who has a private pension, it was the case that any funds left in a private pension, should you pass away before the age of 75, that fund was allowed to be left to beneficiaries free of tax. That now is going to fall into taxable income for inheritance tax purposes. So that's an unfortunate change for those with private pensions. But the impact on most of our doctors within the NHS practice, there really isn't a significant amount of change. The one thing, while I'm talking about pensions, the lifetime allowance, that was another thing that we thought she might have a play with. But actually, she's left that alone, thankfully. And the tax-free lump sum that some people were worried about, I know financial advisors were fairly sure she wouldn't touch it, and indeed she didn't. So we are still allowed to take a 25% of the old lifetime allowance limit as tax-free pension. So that was a positive to take away. And of course, I suppose we ought to mention everyone as individuals, personal tax. So I think we can safely say there weren't any changes there either.
No, she's basically allowances and income tax thresholds, which we've not seen an increase for about 3 or 4 years now, are going to remain as they are until 2028. So who knows what's going to happen after that. It will probably coincide with the next general election, but we'll see. Maybe that will be something to encourage people to continue to vote for Labour.
We'll see. Of course, the one thing that did come in, and that was leaked a long, long time ago, was VAT on private school fees. So that, of course, is going ahead in January 2025. So we'll have to wait and see the impact of that. I suspect that it's more the SEN schools, private schools that are set up that will be mostly impacted. But I suspect there will be a lot of parents who may be trying to move their children out of private school, and we'll have to see what happens with that. And then finally, all the usual things that people worry about when a budget comes in. So whether people did or didn't bother to go and fill their car up at the petrol station before the budget went ahead, didn't actually need to worry about that, did they? So the petrol duty is remaining the same. But that can't be said for alcohol and tobacco.
It isn't a massive difference. I know that the bottled stuff is going up by a percentage, although I missed that percentage. But draft beer, anything on tap, you'd actually be a penny better off per pint. So you can get drunk for less.
Good for some. Tobacco, as expected, obviously, we're trying to avoid people taking up smoking. So that has gone up. And I think they're now going to tax vapes. I think that was well anticipated as well, that that was going to come in. So I think that probably ties up most of the taxes and impact over the budget. So nothing particularly exciting. And to be honest, everything had been leaked beforehand. So nothing was even a surprise, to be honest. But I know that we will have clients concerned about the national insurance and the impact on their businesses. So it might be worth some of our clients taking a look at their current monthly payroll and just doing a quick calculation to add that extra 1.2% to the payroll and see what impact that has. And looking at the staff who are on the national minimum wage or how many staff they've got on that, because that might have an impact as well. But as I say, we are very hopeful, as we always are, that the DDRB will take that into account and properly put in a percentage uplift to cover all those costs. But it's a case of wait and see. But anyway, hopefully that will give some sort of overview of how we see the budget impacting on our clients, those particularly in the NHS, and hopefully you'll find that useful. So we'll say goodbye for now.
Yeah, goodbye everybody. Keep well.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, perhaps you would like and subscribe. We tend to send them out fortnightly. And goodbye for now.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.